We thank God for today. Hallelujah. Today we're going to pick up a topic. Pastor Das has been read by Monica beautifully. It's an event that actually did take place. And many a times when we read things from the Bible, our minds sees it as a historical record in the past. Indeed it is. But when we read the Bible, it's a living word. That means it's the same yesterday. It works well for the people at the time, and it works well for us even right now. Hallelujah. So for the word of God to be relevant to us, we have to be open for God to speak to us and believe that this is the word of God. That's why we took time to read the Bible to you. Is that okay? Shall I pray for you right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this church and I pray for everyone that is here. I pray for the opening of our hearts and our minds. I pray in the name of Jesus that your word will become flesh, relevant, touching us and building us up in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, paraphrasing the story that was read from the Bible for us, the church of God was expanding at the time. They had gone under a persecution, and people were really being tormented and prevented from even becoming Christians. We have it easy in this country. We can become Christians anytime we want, right? It wasn't that easy. And the disciples were doing their very best to go all over Europe and Africa and other parts of the world to spread the gospel. But they had so much opposition. And it was in the context of this that we came to this reading, where Herod, who was the king at the time in Israel, he did not like the Christians because he felt threatened by the word of God and the power that was being exhibited around. So he did all he could to stop them. He even killed James, one of the disciples. And he sort of displeased the crowd and the people around. So he arrested Peter, who supposedly is the leader of the gang that he felt threatened by. He was a follower of Jesus. And he put him in prison. The idea was to try him and execute him just like he did with James. But in the course of the evening or the night, whilst Peter was handcuffed to soldiers to the left, to the right, and there were soldiers guarding the various cell doors, they had to go through quite a few of them, and even the iron gate of the city, an angel came and woke him up and rescued him and took him out of it. But what was intriguing was the fact that the Christ followers, the disciples, the believers were praying. In the New International Version, it says they were earnestly praying. In some translations, it says they were persistently praying. In the New King James Version, it said they were constantly praying. They're talking about the same thing. And what were they praying for? They were praying for supernatural intervention for Peter to be released, because there was no way humanly possible for them to go and release Peter, because Herod was powerful. And he made sure that where he put Peter, it would not be easy. In fact, as you read through, he said he was guarded by four squads of soldiers. So you have a number of them here, a number of them there, a number of them there, a number of them at their door. So it wasn't easy. The only way he could come out or he could be rescued is by supernatural intervention. Otherwise, he'll be dead. So at the very heart of the ministry of Jesus is setting captives free. Jesus came to preach and practice a holistic gospel. And he expects his followers to do the same. What do I mean by holistic gospel? His gospel encompasses everything. When he quoted Isaiah 61, In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, he said, "For the Spirit of the living God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set captives free, and all those who are bound to release them from prison, and those who are oppressed to set them free, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord." That is a year that God will bring smiles upon your faces. So his ministry is to do good like we want to. We've year after year been packing shoeboxes to make children happy elsewhere. If you listen to the video carefully, it says some of them have never received a gift before. You will find it very strange in England, wouldn't you? They haven't received a gift before. I cannot imagine that you grow up and never had a gift. Whether Christmas, whether your birthday, whether any other function, you never had one. So for them to have what you put in this shoebox is priceless. So I want to encourage you that this is a ministry of Jesus Christ. Preach good news to the poor. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. And that person will be rewarded by God, he says in Proverbs. So I will encourage you to do one shoebox, do two shoeboxes, do three. Sometimes some do even a dozen shoeboxes. It's happened in this church before. We are aware of that. It only costs 50 pence to get a box, right? But if you are so smart and you don't want to spend your 50 pence, I was going to say I'm going to offer boxes, but I'm not. Look for some. Go to Clark's or any shoe company. Shoe store. They will give you some of this for free. And then you wrap it nicely. Because if you're going to give a gift, let it be nice. And wrap it nicely with a Christmas wrapper and bring it next Sunday. And make sure that you give your fiver. Because that will be the cost of shipping to them. Just £5 and a few gifts transform people's life for them to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why are we talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ came to set captives free. He couldn't bear to see people suffering. He couldn't bear. It is not his will. It doesn't make him happy to see people suffering. If you think sickness is a good thing, why do you go to the doctor when you are sick? Somebody educate me. If you think it's okay to bear your sickness and die with it, why do you rush to see your general practitioner? Why do you have those operations? Jesus Christ had every reason to want to set captives free. So, in that same breath that Jesus Christ came to set captives free and to heal the sick and to, do good to people and to bring the gospel to them, shoebox is doing that. But in the same breath, as he was resurrected from the dead, in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus Christ said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Are you following? Jesus has sent us to do the very things that he has done or he was doing here on this earth. It's unfortunate that we only do a little bit. Bring people to Christ and leave them there. But then even research has shown that a lot of the problems and the issues that we find in this world, most of the time has something spiritual behind it. Yes? Sometimes no amount of counseling can get out of it. Sometimes no amount of medication can heal you. I'm not saying don't get medication, please do. But sometimes you get to a point that you see that it doesn't work, and that's why you need supernatural intervention. So if we are talking about holistic gospel, this is what we are talking about. The driving force behind this was Jesus' constant prayers, to the extent that it became a habit. We read in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, that it was his custom to pray. So what are we saying? We see this in our reading from verse 1 to verse 7 of Acts chapter 12. Here they said suddenly, verse 7, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off his wrist. Get that picture. He was bound. He couldn't get out. And then there was a sudden intervention, supernatural intervention, and everything fell off. This is what we refer to as breakthrough. Are you with me? So breakthrough is a sudden burst of supernatural intervention that releases one from certain activities that is holding you back. Do you understand that? Certain activities may be holding you back. Some of you, it could be illness. Some of you, it could be just that you can't hack it. Either in your school, in your finances, in ability to, arrest your home together, or sometimes even get along with your manager, or your business is stuck somewhere. I've been in business, so I understand some things that you need to do to, make sure your business work well. But then sometimes you get to a point that you are stuck and you cannot do anything. And oh, how I wish that most business people understand breakthrough. A sudden intervention of supernatural that gets the chains off and to make sure that you are okay. Now, what are we saying? What we are saying is that constant prayers release the supernatural presence of God and activate angelic ministry on behalf of the saints. What are we seeing here? Go to verse 6 for me, please. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers, bound with chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Now roll it to verse 7. Right. So suddenly an angel of the Lord came. But then did we read verse 5? Put it back to verse 5 for me. Did we read that? Verse 5 is, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So what brought the sudden burst of supernatural intervention was the persistent prayers or the constant prayers that was being offered by the church. That suddenly the chain fell off. And that is what we call it breakthrough. Because some of the time, a yoke can oppress us. A burden can sink you. And some problems can hinder you or keep you bound in prison unless you get a breakthrough. A curse can also hold you back for a while. A curse is something bad that somebody say about you. Sometimes some parents, their kids wind them up so much that they just look at them and tell them, look, you will never be anybody. Why will you put such a curse on your child? Speak good things about them. Even when they are whining, you say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Probably you're thinking, gosh, it's difficult to say. Well, I have three children, so I know that sometimes it is difficult to say, but it's also good to say that. Say good things about them. Even before they are born, say good things about them, because bad things you say about people is death to them. And most often, it holds them back and it happens to them. And some of you may have come under various forms of curses, either because, you're a manager and somebody didn't like you, or you did something that somebody didn't like it, or maybe you hurt somebody and they just said things about you. You need a breakthrough. Are you following the preach right now? We need a breakthrough. You see, we also need a cup of accumulation. Let me explain that. Breakthrough comes after accumulation of something, and that something is prayer. That brings a sudden answer to that accumulation of the prayers that goes on your behalf. Every follower of Jesus or a believer in Jesus Christ has an obligation to pray and not give up. For when we pray, you accumulate your prayers in the heavens of God. Each time you are praying, you are accumulating your prayers in the heavens of God. You would think, oh God, what sort of theology am I talking about? It is true. Let's hear this. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, now when Jesus Christ, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So that means there is a bowl being held in the heavens. And as we pray, we are accumulating something in the supernatural. Are you following? And when we look at Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, it said, then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, not that word, much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. He was given much incense. Much incense is the accumulation of prayers and indeed intercessory prayers. Praying on behalf of somebody. In the video you saw that it said the church prayed for the young lady's mother who was in the coma and she came back to life. The doctors did what they could and we thank them for that. But the prayers of the saint, the accumulation of the prayers, brought that person before God. Now, I've asked the ushers to give me something to, do a little illustration physically for you to get what I'm trying to say. Thank you. It's okay, you can come just here. So, I'm holding in my hand a beaker with water in it and a glass in my hand. This one is not part of the illustration, but just to catch the water from wetting the floor. Now, each time you pray here on this earth, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. As you pray, you accumulate something in the bowl in the heavens. And if you have a problem, an issue, you're bound, you are being held back, and you pray that much and you stop, that is where it is. Now, you keep praying some more, and this time maybe you call a few people to help you out, and you start praying. And it's not that much. But then you're accumulating, your prayers are rising. Are you with me in the heavens? You are accumulating the prayer. Each prayer that you offer, you are accumulating something in the bowl in the heavens. And until you get to a point that there's much incense before God. Remember, the prayers, the bowl was full of the prayers of the saints, right? And the angel was giving much incense, the fire that comes in your prayers. And whenever people get together to pray, they're 10 times more powerful than even praying alone. That is why the church was praying. So the church keep praying. And it says constant prayers. So you can see this time, constant prayers was being prayed. Constant prayers was being prayed. And when it got to that point, what happened? Suddenly, what is happening? It's overflowing, isn't it? It's as if your cup is overflowing. Suddenly, your prayers has reached the top. And therefore, it is overflowing. That is much incense. At that point, is the point of breakthrough because suddenly you've reached that point that it's flowing over. So we have to offer constant prayers, my brothers, my sisters. We have to persist in prayer. We have to get together in the corporate body to pray a lot. Because sometimes the reason why you don't pray is because you don't know how to pray. The reason why you're not having a breakthrough is because your prayers are just this bit. And you stop. People say, but God hears prayer, but he hasn't heard mine. He's hearing, but he wants you to pray. He wants you to continue praying until you get to that point, the breakthrough point, when the water flows over. Is that okay? That is where the breakthrough is. We have to continue praying. Thank you. Until we get to that point where it flows over. Because David, when he wrote 28 generations before Jesus Christ was born, he said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. You anoint my head with oil. That means your presence came. And my cup runs over. And when my cup runs over, what happened? Goodness and mercies follow me. Your goodness and mercies are being held back. And until you get to that point of breakthrough, the goodness and mercies will not come. But you have to get to that point, that moment that you feel, oh God, you know what? I am walking in the shadow of valley of death. I see that there's no way out. It's all dark around me. Everything is working against me. I'm not having a breakthrough. But I will continue until your presence comes. I will make sure that there's much incense until your presence comes. I will make sure there's constant prayers until your presence comes. And when your presence is around, you activate the angelic presence. And what happens? The breakthrough is there. Amen. Now your cup runs over. And goodness and mercies shall follow you. That means each time you go, they are following you. They don't stop. Goodness and mercies shall follow you. When you have a breakthrough, you see that it follows you. It follows you. It doesn't stop there. It continues in that order. And this passage that we read was like that. He came to the point that he had a breakthrough. And goodness and mercies follow him. But many people give up after a while when breakthrough has not happened. When God does something sovereignly, no accumulation is needed. But breakthrough comes after accumulation of spiritual matter to release the sovereign will of God. So we say, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God has sovereignly done it. The law of accumulation will release the angelic ministry. In fact, when you read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 17, he said, look, has he not made Jesus Christ for the angels to bow before him? Or has he not made him bigger than the angels of heaven? And has he not sent his angels to minister to the saints, meaning you? So, I'm preaching anything which you don't know about. We are reading that suddenly an angel came. What happened? The presence of God filled that place. And there was an activation in the supernatural. There was accumulation of prayers, persistent prayers, constant prayers, and prayers that continued. That at the end of the day, his angel was activated to go and set him free. And are we going to persist in prayer? Are we going to pray constantly till we get to that point? You see, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and also was recorded in Luke. And why did they go to him to teach them how to pray? Because they saw him praying. They saw him praying as a custom first thing in the morning. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1 verse 35 that early hours of the morning or a great while before day, he wake up and go and pray. In the day he was praying, every now and then he said, my Father, my God, my Lord. He was in communication with God all the time. That's prayer. And after his ministry, his day's work, he would go and pray. He was doing that all the time, sometimes all night. So, breakthrough, steps to get to your breakthrough. Breakthrough prayers begin with consistency and persistency. The Bible tells us that we should pray without ceasing. So I will encourage you to press on, pressing, pursue God until the answer comes. Because that is what happened. And if you read verse 12 of Acts, chapter 12, it mimics verse 5 of the chapter 12. Verse 5 said the people were praying, persistently praying, And verse 12 tells that when he was released and his chains fell off, he went to a house of John Mark, and there he found the people still praying. Isn't this amazing? And sometimes some of us, we pray a little bit and we stop. So if you are thinking about that, think about the fact that they have been praying since he was put in the prison the previous evening, and they were praying until the man got there. Persistent prayers. People will say, oh, you don't have to pray long before you hear something from God. You know what? If you want a breakthrough, remember, there's a supernatural intervention that you need, because sometimes your prayers are being hindered, either by a curse or by something beyond you. And for you to have that breakthrough, you have to press on and push until you get to that point. So persistency and consistency is praying without ceasing. And Jesus Christ gave an illustration in Luke chapter 18 when there was a lady who wanted to, win a case against her opponent. He came to a lawyer and a judge and said, please, make sure that you are fair to me. Make sure that my case is right, because I know my case is right. Make sure that I win the case. And he will not hear. But the Bible said, because of the lady's constant, persistent pressure on the judge, the judge said, if I do not give her the answer, she will wear me out. Thank God we cannot wear God out. But God says, wear me out if you want. That's why in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it said, now it is absolutely necessary that men and women will pray and not cave in or give up. The word, English word used there is ought, meaning it is absolutely necessary that we continue to pray and not give up or cave in or get tired. And I just want to challenge you that if your prayer life is just a little drop of water here and there, you have a long way to accumulate for your breakthrough. You may have answers to simple things, but serious things that you need to really break through. Where you are bound in chain, the left and the right, and to the front and the back, and the gate is all secured, there you're not going to get out until you up your prayer level, until you up your prayer covering and intercessory level, until you join hand with somebody and press on until you have a breakthrough. Because when you're in a situation like this, seeker-friendly prayers will not do. You know what seeker-friendly prayers is like? Oh, Father God, I thank you. And you know you have somebody in front of you, and you start praying for the queen. Bless the queen, God. There's a problem in front of you. And then you wait for the next person to finish. Then you pass on the baton for the next person to pray. And then you start talking about, God help us to love people. And you have somebody in front of you. Such prayers don't go anywhere. I'm challenging you. This is scripture. You understand that? You see, when you want a breakthrough, seeker-friendly prayers will not do. Where you wait till somebody finish and you pray. Somebody finish and you pray. When you have a problem, you don't wait to hear the next person. You want to do it, isn't it? And you wish that everybody around come to your point of vision so that they can pray with you or they can solve your problem. You go to hospital and it's an emergency, and you go and you see the person at the desk trying to ask for your date of birth. You don't want that. Some time back, I went to the gym and I overdid it. And I was in so much pain. I thought I was going to die. And I went to A&E, and when I went, they said I should sit down. I'm thinking, sit down for what? I am really dying. I'm in pain. You want everybody to come to your line of vision. You want the answer quick. So you want the doctors around. You want the nurses around. You want everybody around you so that you can do things, don't you? Yes. So why do you go and pray? Finish, Irene. Catherine, continue. Bramwell, continue. Then you pass it on. Such prayers will not bring a breakthrough. Their first line of prayers, seeker-friendly. They could have done that for Peter, and nothing would have happened. They gathered together and they took it seriously and they prayed seriously. Now let me push on. Certain things happen suddenly, but when some things you are praying for takes time, it means your miracle is big. You understand that? You see, because It took time for him to get out. The miracle was big. It's impossible for that to happen. So consistency and persistency or perseverance is the key to breakthrough. Because, Elijah did certain things like that when he was praying for rain to fall after 3 years of drought. Bible said he prayed 7 times. He did not stop. When he prayed a bit, nothing happened. And he sent his servant, go and check. Nothing was happening. And he prayed, and he prayed. And it was repeated 7 times until the rain came. So he did not give up. And most often because of the weight of the problems that we have and the issues facing us, we give up. Maybe you need somebody to change their perspective about life and to help you out, and it's not happening. You need a job and it's not happening. You need promotion and it's not happening. You need God to move you another step and it's not happening. You're looking for a spouse and it's not happening. You're looking for your church to grow and it's not happening. And you're thinking, God, what is happening? What is happening is that you are being hindered. Jesus Christ came to set free those who are imprisoned. And Peter being in prison, he was being hindered from preaching the gospel of God. He was being hindered from, bringing miracles to people. He was being hindered from allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest himself among people. So his ministry was curtailed. I just want you to understand that consistency in prayer develops maturity. A never giving up spirit. You pray and you are that type like a bulldog. You guys understand. Sometimes I was saying bulldog somewhere. Nobody seemed to understand what a bulldog was. I was so surprised. But it's like a bulldog. When a bulldog holds on to something, it doesn't let go, right? Ooh, it just holds on to it. Even if it is your dog, it will not let go. It holds on to it. Sometimes you have to do something drastic to get it out. So you are focused on prayer. And he said, God, I will not let go until I have an answer. And somebody who had a bulldog spirit is Jacob in the Bible, right? Because Jacob, the Bible tells us that he had that kind of spirit in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to 28. He met an angel, right? I talk about the angelic ministry. He met an angel when he was traveling. When he was first running away from his brother, because he was being pursued. And then he wanted to go and take a wife. And was on a journey. He's never been there before. Very, very complicated. New places. And he needed to encounter God. And when he came to realize that he was encountering somebody, he realized it was a supernatural intervention at that point. Because he was a man of prayer. If you read his story, you will know that he was a man of prayer. And because he was praying, he encountered God. And when he realized that the person he was fighting with was not just an ordinary man, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So are we in that point where we will say that we will not let you go, God, until I have a breakthrough? That is where breakthrough comes. A sudden burst, a sudden intervention of God. In your situation. You see, it's at that point that we see that suddenly something takes off. So consistency in prayer produces momentum. That means there is something moving on, right? You understand momentum? There's something moving on. It's as if like an athlete who is getting ready to run. Or if you watch motor racing like I do sometimes, you see that they're on the track and they're just waiting for the line to go green or the gun to go and they're just moving. At that point that you are just ready to go, it's momentum. You are building power to move. You're waiting for that to go. So as soon as the bell goes, you're off. So prayers, consistent prayers, creates momentum in the supernatural ready to release what is due you. Yes? Miracles does not happen in the church when there is no consistency and persistency in prayers. Nothing just happened in the supernatural. But Jesus has been praying. As the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. You see, in Luke chapter 5, verse 5 to 9, there was a phrase that was used which really excited me. In the New International Version, it says, shameless audacity. You see, there was someone who went and to a friend and said, give me 3 loaves or some food for my friend who's come from a journey. And the friend said, look, I'm sleeping with my kids, so I cannot wake up. But then the friend kept knocking. And the Bible said, though he's a friend, because of his shameless audacity, his boldness, his bravery, his persistence and perseverance, he will get up and give it to you. And it goes on from verse 11 onward, will not your Father in heaven give to anyone who knocks? For knock and it shall be opened. Seek and it shall you find. And what did I say? Ask and it shall be given. I should have said that first, right? Ask and it shall be given. So ask from God. But then the asking is a persistent and consistent way of getting things. Because you have to wear God out if that is possible. But then he wants you to see it in that perspective. And I can challenge you that one of the reasons why you where you are because your prayer life is zilch or very little. It's not strong. I was once challenged by someone in Greenwich. And the person said, look, I've come to your church a few times. I like the way you preach. I like the way people love people. I like the way, things happen. But for you, Pastor, you know what I want to say? Your prayers are not strong. I felt so challenged by that statement. And I'm thinking, what does that person mean? Am I consistent in my prayers? Am I getting up early to persevere in prayers? Am I receiving breakthrough in my life? And that challenge, man, from that time, I've never been the same with my prayer life. And today I know all things are possible. I've always known in the Bible, but today it makes a lot of sense to me. Because I'm praying, and I'm persistent, I'm getting momentum, I am adding something to it. And when you do, the acceleration comes. I'm bringing my message to a close shortly. But I just want to remind you, let's watch a little video. A video that you guys probably, most of you know. Anyone watch Finding Nemo before? Very exciting, isn't it? If you have children, you always watch videos. Right. And the lights will go up so that you can see a little bit better. And it's only about 3 minutes and I'll wrap up. Listen, and what I want you to see is intercession. What I want you to see is joining hands. What I want you to see is momentum. And what I want you to see is persistency. And what I want you to see is as a cheerleader on the side. And let's see what it says. Turn up the volume. Let the video go. Just about 3 minutes. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. You see, somehow along the land, their lives was in danger. Now, Nemo was going to look for his friend Rory, right? And these trawlers were doing what they had to do. They had to grab all this fish. And that would have been the end of them. They were all trapped. But somewhere along the line, they need to have a breakthrough. But then sometimes it needs somebody who said, I will stand in the gap to do this. And Nemo went in there. His friend was caught up because it was a fish, right? Different color. Its problem is different. But was still caught up in the same net. And we're all going to be taken out. But then somewhere along the line, someone was cheering them up. And the Bible said, Jesus Christ, our Lord, went on the cross and risen to sit on the right side of God. And he is making intercession for the saints. So, somebody is helping you as you pray, as a community, and as you listen to good advice, the word of God being preached to you, your breakthrough will come. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming down. Don't stop until the breakthrough comes. Is that a good illustration for you? So from here onwards, keep swimming. From here onwards, keep accumulating your prayers. From here onwards, don't stop. Pray without without ceasing. When we pray so much, we provoke the manifestation of the spiritual in the natural. That means in the heavens, something breaks. Did you see that up on that on the sea, something broke, isn't it? And the result was seen by those fish that was under the sea, isn't it? So something breaks in the supernatural, and those of us who are here, we feel the effect of it. Something broke in the supernatural, and Peter got out because some people were praying, and Jesus was encouraging them and said, keep swimming. So today I want to encourage you with this. Keep praying. Keep finding people to stand with you to pray. Don't give up. Because some had given up. That's the end of it. Because it's normal for a fish to be caught. But for some, it's not normal. You need to get out. Are we going to pray? May we stand and we're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Today I've left some imagery before you. An imagery from the Bible of Peter being rescued. I've left an imagery of water being accumulated in the glass to an overflowing measure. I've left an imagery of Nemo. Keep swimming. And today, I don't know what is the pressure point for you. Maybe you're starting something new. You are a stranger to the community. Sometimes things doesn't look the way it ought to be or it is as we know it. We have to get to that point of being persistent in prayer. Nothing by no means will hold you back if you persist in prayer. Maybe you hear and there's an issue that you've been praying about for a long time. It's not happening. Maybe there's a problem, there's a sickness, there's an illness. I've been praying, it's not happening. Today we're going to pray. So make some noise, make some songs behind me, something powerful, so that we can pray together for 5 minutes and we'll finish our service, right? Shall we pray? My God, just pray. Bring your issues before God. Maybe your prayer life is that tiny. See, the reason why sometimes you come to church today, you don't come tomorrow, simply because you are not connecting with God, and therefore being in this house, it does not touch you. It shows how weak your prayer life is. The reason why you're where you are right now and you're not making any headway is because there's no consistency of prayer. There's no momentum being created in that net to get you out. Can you pray to God and bring your ways before God? Bible says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. So please pray right now for your situation.